This is People Every Day. Coming up, inside Selling Sunset's new office romance between Chrishell Stause and boss Jason Oppenheim. Plus, how Elton John, Demi Lovato, and more are taking rapper DaBaby to task for his homophobic comments. And Mandy Moore on her postpartum struggles. It's July 29th. Well, hello out there and happy Thursday. This is People Every Day, and I'm your host, Janine Rubenstein. And I'm just going to get right to it because it's all about the headlines today. First things first, here's your Olympic news sprint. So we have a new all-around gymnastics gold medalist. In the wake of Simone Biles bowing out to take care of her mental health, U.S. teammate Suni Lee rose to the challenge and secured the bag, as the kids say. Now, I wasn't there to see it, so let's listen to someone who was, People Sports editor Lindsay Kimball, who's on the ground in Tokyo.
It was super exciting, despite there being limited attendance in the room, and still there was a buzz in the final moments before it was official that Suni had secured the gold. Even going into her final rotation, which was the floor, it seemed pretty likely that Suni was going to medal, if not take that top spot, and everyone was excited. It was especially fun to look over at her teammates who were sitting in the stands, Jordan Chiles, Simone Biles, who of course we knew was supposed to compete in this event but decided to sit out, Grace McCallum and Michaela Skinner. They were all sitting there cheering for her, clutching their hands. They seemed nervous, making sure that she was gonna hit every mark, and when she did, they were all clapping and cheering. Jordan particularly loud. You could hear her throughout the arena. She was quite the hype girl. So it was an incredible moment to be there, history making moment, and it was so thrilling.
Thanks, Lindsay. Lee is the first Hmong American Olympic gymnast and now the first Hmong American gold medalist. Just the biggest congrats to her and her family, and all the love to Simone as well. She tweeted yesterday saying that the outpouring of love she's received since walking away from the games to take care of herself has made her realize, quote, I'm more than gymnastics. So true. One other update for you. Bob Odenkirk, star of Better Call Saul, is in stable condition after his heart-related incident on set. Such good news there as well. All right. On with me now is People.com managing editor Charlotte Triggs, who's going to help me dig into a few other big stories, starting with all the buzz surrounding a new reality TV celebrity couple. Selling Sunset's Chrishell Stause and Jason Oppenheim are dating. So for those who don't know, Jason is Chrishell's boss at the Oppenheim Group, a real estate firm that's at the center of Netflix's reality show, Selling Sunset. And I have to admit to you guys, I don't watch it, so I am coming at this cold. My friends are talking about it. I'm seeing the pictures, and I'm like, what? Who? Where? So, Charlotte, I need your help with this one.
Yeah, well, okay. So, it's Jason and his twin brother have this agency, and it is staffed exclusively by gorgeous supermodel-level women.
Oh, wow.
And so, okay, sure. It's not so surprising that maybe eventually they would get together. But, you know, Chrishell has had this kind of up and down romantic life. You know, she was married to Justin Hartley from 2017 to 2019, and their relationship and the breakup played out on the show. So everybody got to see this. It was like, you know, he allegedly broke up with her via text message and she didn't know that he was filing for divorce until she got a news alert about herself.
Ooh.
I mean, so all of this stuff was playing out on the show and there was never any hint of any kind of like romantic stuff with Jason. He just seemed like he definitely appreciated the beautiful women in his office.
Uh-oh.
You know?
Wait, take me into like a scene. Like what is the office culture at the Oppenheim Group, please?
Yeah, well, who knows what it is now, right? With like the pandemic, but it's like in these like pre-pandemic episodes, it's all, you know, open plan seating with like a bunch of supermodels sitting around at desks and like the two bros, literally bros, like,
oh, wow,
running the show and sending these beautiful women out on like, you know, listings with extreme rich clients. It's like 100 million. Like, I feel like they had a listing that was like, could have been $100 million.
Ooh,
like,
wow.
Crazy expensive
money.
Real estate. Totally. And Chrishell came on and her whole thing was, she was like the new person. Everybody was really suspicious of her. And they're like, who's this one? She like, you know, thinks she's hot stuff. And she wanted to bring their business into the Valley. That was like her thing.
Oh.
It's just all kind of funny. And she used to like have, her husband was sort of involved. Like he wasn't on camera, but he used to be like a presence on the show. Like they would have.
And this is Justin Hartley, husband
Justin
from This Is Us.
Yes. Right. Yes. Justin Hartley from This Is Us, who's, of course, gorgeous.
Wildly attractive, and we must say.
Recognize his face. Yes, totally. So it's like, you know, he would be like, it would be like coffee with Justin Hartley would be like a prize for like the raffle at like something that they're doing to try to drum up business.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
I mean? And then like cut to that didn't last forever. Yeah. And now here we are. You know, she's had a relationship in between. She was dating someone that she met on Dancing with the Stars. There's definitely a bit of a tradition of meeting people on the job.
So Jason actually talked about that very thing, dating coworkers. He opened up to people about Selling Sunset and if he would date another co-star on the show. He said, "That's such a big bowl of mess that I don't need to get into. I've never dated anyone that was working at the Oppenheim Group, and there's no one that I would consider." So clearly feels differently now. I feel like,
guess he changed his mind.
Yeah, like dating your boss would create so many complications. I mean, I feel like we sit through hours of HR videos about this.
Yeah, all the trainings and all those videos you've got to click through. It's like the answer is no, don't do it. It's not a good idea. But I mean, I don't know. It's like they're in another league and there's some like serious money and some serious sexy people like mingling, you know, in the same room.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it was destined to happen.
Oh my goodness. So as you can imagine, fans are super excited to see season 4 of the show now. They're, you know, trying to figure out like how much of this is going to play out. So how do you see this impacting the future seasons? I mean, both as a couple and if they split, because he is her boss.
Oh, I think, okay, I have a theory here. So they're all like a lot of the people from The Office are actually all on vacation together in Capri and like on yachts and stuff, like living it up. And that's how we found out that they were dating, because there were some pictures of them sort of like kissing and like you know, hugging and like all over each other. And then in short order, all of the colleagues / co-stars all started commenting and saying, "Oh, we're so excited for you. We love this. We love this."
Ooh, that's some sexy team building.
Exactly. I know, right? But I mean, I think that they are happy, right? Because this is guaranteed to keep this going for at least 2 more seasons, because it's like you're going to have the actual romance itself. Who knows what'll happen? You could either have a wedding, you could have an engagement, mm-hmm. there could be babies, there could be a big breakup. And then what are you going to do? Plus, not to mention, you know, is she going to get the better listings now? And then everybody's going to be mad. This is going to fuel so much content.
Well, now I got to watch.
Great.
Thanks, Charlotte.
Totally.
and for his brother's part, Jason's twin brother, Brett Oppenheim, he said, "Love you, Chrishell. Thank you for making my brother happy." So, I mean, cheers to them. Hope it lasts. It'll definitely be some good TV. Okay, Charlotte, there is one more story that I want to get into with you that is right in our wheelhouse. I guess tangential to the other one. We talked about Justin Hartley from This Is Us, and this story is about Mandy Moore, who plays Justin's mom on This Is Us. Well, Mandy is a new mom in real life these days and opened up about motherhood yesterday, talking to a perinatal psychologist in partnership with Lancenot. So she and her husband, Taylor Goldsmith, welcomed their first child in February, and she got candid and said something that, you know, a lot of us moms can relate to, which is that it's really hard in the beginning, yeah. Right? So what were some of your major takeaways from what she said?
It's just so interesting. It's like, so in her case, I guess breastfeeding wasn't hard. That's what a lot of women complain about, is that it's like really hard to get that going. It's like really challenging, but for her, it worked out okay. But then she felt like there was other stuff that she was falling down on the job at. Like she couldn't get the baby to go to sleep. Like she felt like she couldn't get the baby to smile. Of course, newborns don't really smile until a certain age. You know what I mean? So like, don't take that one too seriously, Mandy. It's okay.
My Hollywood baby is going to smile in week one.
Exactly. They say that smile, it's gas. That's what they say.
Yeah.
Yeah, she said that her husband was the one who was like the miracle worker at like getting the baby to sleep, and it made her kind of feel bad about herself.
Oh, well, that's annoying.
Well, you know what? Just take it. The baby's sleeping. Just accept it. It's okay. It's all good.
Yeah. Well, let's listen to a little bit of what she told the psychologist.
I just felt this rush of like, I'm not good enough for him. I don't know how to be his mom. I know how to feed him. But beyond that, I like, am I suited for this? I just felt so like ineffective. Mm-hmm. And I would look at my husband, who just seemed to have this supernatural ability to take care of Gus. Like he could make him smile. He could make him laugh. He just like would get on the floor and roll around with him. And I just felt like whatever I did, it just wasn't right.
if the husband can get the baby to smile, that would be a little annoying. But that's probably, like you said, just gas. But I do feel her. Like, we have, you know, my baby now, my youngest is about to be a year next week. And she's still not fully sleeping through the night. But I do feel like we are long past that hump. Mm. But if we go back in our minds, like, do you remember those first few weeks, Charlie? You have three.
So I have three. I had one and then I had twins. The second time around, it was like crazy. I mean, I remember... my mom was taking care of my older daughter when we arrived home from the hospital. You know, she and my dad kind of packed up and left, and I called her and was like, come back. I was like, I can't do this by myself. Like, one of the twins was crying and the other one was like, I don't know. It was just like, when it's twins, it's really crazy because it's like one person needs this and one person needs that. And like, you know, you're desperate for them to be sleeping at the same time, but maybe they're not. It's like, oh my God, you really do forget about it. I'm like sort of like blocking out some of those details.
Yeah, I know. I think you forget, you know, like as like a defense mechanism for your own self.
Exactly.
But I do feel her as she talks about it. I do remember those moments. And breastfeeding for me was really difficult in the beginning. So her saying like, I knew how to feed him, but I couldn't do anything else. I was like, I don't even know how to feed this boy.
Oh, no. I know,
or
right?
Baby girl. So yeah, I just want to know that she is not alone, even though we all forget as moms.
Yeah. And there's no regulatory board that's telling you if you're doing it right or not. You know what I mean? Like, there's nobody. It's like, so if people are going on social media and just judging by other people's photos, guess what? They picked the best photo out of the 50 photos that they took, or they like maybe haven't posted. You know what I mean? It's like, that's not just because somebody has their kid and looks like all clean and, you know, smiling and happy and whatever. That doesn't mean that there wasn't other stuff that happened that day that was just as, you know, challenging as what you might be dealing with.
So much other stuff. I mean, Reelstagram. If you look at that, then you'll get the real.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Charlotte, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Next up, why multiple celebrities are speaking out against rapper DaBaby after what he said this past weekend. Stay tuned. Switching gears a little bit, because there is a story that has been unfolding for the past several days coming out of the Rolling Loud Miami Music Festival. So rapper DaBaby, who you'll know from his hits like Rockstar and his big feature on Dua Lipa's song Levitating,
right foot, levitate, pop star,
said some very homophobic things from the stage on Sunday. So here to unpack this for us is People's Tomas Mier. Hi, Tomas.
Hey, Janine. How's it going?
I'm good. So, the things that man said from that stage, I almost don't even want to quote it word for word. I'm not going to, but can you set the scene? Like, what happened and what were some of the things he put out there?
I mean, it was just horrible, Janine. It just felt so out of nowhere. He just basically ended up telling fans, like, if you didn't show up with AIDS or a sexually transmitted disease, put up your lights, and spoke about gay people doing things in the parking lot, and it, just all of this mess for what? For no reason at all.
I saw the video, like, as he's like kind of walking away, this is like to get the crowd like riled up. It was so confusing and toxic.
It really was. And I guess now we understand why. It's because he had a song coming out that referred to AIDS and wanted to somehow promote it.
Yeah, so we saw that he, you know, added fuel to the fire today. He released a music video for his new song, Giving What It's Supposed to Give. And midway through the video, he holds up a sign that says AIDS.
At this point, it feels planned. So there's a lyric and it's, we like AIDS, I'm on your, we on your. And it's, that's the lyric. And then he holds up that sign. So it's like, was this planned? Was the homophobic anti-LGBT rant planned? I don't know. But it really rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
The most horrible, disrespectful marketing plan I can possibly think of in modern times. But we've heard from a number of celebrities in the wake of all of this. So Dua Lipa, who I said featured DaBaby on her song Levitating, she is just speaking out like immediately. She said she's surprised and horrified by his comments and writing in part, "We need to come together to fight the stigma and ignorance around HIV and AIDS." But even bigger names out there. So let people know, who else have we heard from in the wake of this?
Yeah, so we also heard from Elton John directly. He tweeted a whole thread basically explaining why this misinformation can be so horrible for people who are HIV positive. It's dangerous, really, and it makes people who are already marginalized even more marginalized. Demi Lovato also spoke up. They shared a post saying, "Hot people, listen to the original version of Levitating," because Dua had dropped Levitating before DaBaby hopped on. And then there's also a few stars that have said, like, "I'm down to be on the remake of the song." Like Victoria Monet, she tweeted saying, "If Dua is looking for a replacement, I'm here."
And we should know that Elton John posted his statement to Twitter on behalf of his Elton John AIDS Foundation. And this is currently chaired by his husband, David Furnish. And in it, he wrote just a lot of good information, like you said, Tomas. But the part that really stuck with me was, "A musician's job is to bring people together." And so just a little bit of background on DaBaby, rapper, of course, 29 years old. His real name is Jonathan Kirk. He has two children. And second and third albums, Kirk and Blame It on Baby, hit number one on the Billboard 200. So just a huge star who was taking off. And you know, I was a fan of his music for a while. And now I can't.
There's also another layer to this. He performed right after Megan the Stallion, and he brought out Tory Lanez on stage. And if you remember, Tory Lanez allegedly shot at Megan Thee Stallion's foot.
Yes, yes.
And Megan Thee Stallion and DaBaby have had beef on Twitter before talking about this. So everything just seems a little bit petty or for no reason at all.
Megan had even tweeted about this in the past when the two rappers first collaborated. She wrote, "Support me in private and publicly do something different. These industry men are very strange." She wrote that this situation ain't no damn beef, and I really wish people would stop downplaying it like it's some internet SHIT for likes and retweets. So she is saying, like, my life was in danger, and it was. And of course, you know, it's all allegedly, you know, at the hands of Tory Lanez. But we know that there is a lot of problems there between them. And so it just feels like DaBaby is trolling women, trolling, you know, the LGBTQI community. I don't know why.
And the worst thing is, too, that the fact of the matter is that Black women are most likely to contract AIDS. And the thing is that there's these misconstrued ideas that gay men are the only ones that get the disease and die from it, when in reality, Black women are the people who are more at risk to contracting and dying from it.
So prior to the release of this new video, Tomas, like, DaBaby did issue an apology of sorts. He tweeted, "Anybody who done ever been affected by AIDS, HIV, y'all got the right to be upset. What I said was insensitive, even though I have no intentions on offending anybody. So my apologies." Well, we will keep everyone posted on how this develops, because I highly doubt this is the end of this story. Tomas, thank you for breaking it down for me.
Thank you, Janine.
That was People's Tomas Mier explaining the controversy surrounding rapper DaBaby. For more on this story and more, head over to people.com. Also, let me quickly tell you about another podcast you might like. It's called Hot Off the Mess. Can't get enough of your favorite Bravo TV shows? Enter Hot Off the Mess, a pop culture podcast from The Dip, starring Samantha Bush, aka Bravo historian, as your host. Each week, Samantha will be covering Bravo's breaking news stories and messiest moments, sometimes with the help of her Bravo obsessed fans and even Bravo celebrities themselves. It might get weird, it might get snarky, and it's definitely going to get messy. Subscribe to Hot Off the Mess wherever you listen to podcasts. Okay, it's time for something to make you smile. Climate change is a hot-button issue, and one congressman is trying to explain what's happening to the Earth with a catchy song from 2006 and adding in a splash of Megan Thee Stallion. So on Wednesday, Representative Sean Casten, a Democrat from Illinois, broke out lines from Fergalicious by Fergie while arguing his Federal Energy Regulatory Commission bill, that's FERC, because he wants everyone to have a hot FERC summer, he calls it. Get it? Like hot girl summer? Yeah. Just listen to some of his argument.
So listen up, y'all, because this is it. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, better known as the F to the E to the R to the C, is one of the most important federal agencies to fight climate change. Having a well air-conditioned home when it's hot, hot, that's FERC-alicious.
It's all about the power of pop-suasion, I guess. I think he made his case, though. I'll talk to you all tomorrow.